What I'm going to teach you right now is what happens to your emotions and your thought process and how they're different, and why it's important to build a framework for how to change your heart. Because if I just start working in your heart and your brain doesn't comprehend what's going to happen, your brain will fight with me and it'll rest like, what's she doing? What is she doing? What is she doing? Okay, so let me explain how your brain and heart work already. From age 0 to 7, we're programmed, and your analytical brain is not yet formed. So your analytical brain doesn't say, oh, I like this. No, I don't like that. It hasn't even started to do that yet. So it just receives. So when somebody says to you, what's wrong with you? Why are you crying? What's the matter with you? Go to your room and cry. Big girls don't cry. You whiny baby. And you hear this over and over and over. And it could be something, somebody could be very, very loving and say, what's wrong with you? Why are you crying? Or why are you crying? Or what's the matter with you? Why are you crying? They could even say it gently and while touching you and loving on you. But your body, not just your brain, but your body is going to record in a chemical makeup, something called a chemical ligand, because your body communicates three ways. It communicates through chemicals, through electricity and magnetism. So when that gets in your bloodstream that something's wrong with you, then you're going to equate painful feelings with being bad, painful feelings with being wrong, painful feelings with something's the matter. So you're programmed that way. You've never known emotion any other way than what someone's put into you in that 0 to age 7, because you're in mostly what's called theta brain waves. So what that means is you're not questioning it. You're just being a receiver at that moment. Now, as you get older, your brain begins to question and you begin to analyze. You go from a theta brain wave to an alpha to a beta. And a beta brain wave is where you're analyzing, you're paying attention, you're listening. If I say you're going to get a test on this, you'll go into a higher beta brain wave than if you're just listening and paying attention. If you go into a scary moment, like a dog barking at you, your beta brainwave is going to get even higher. Now, when that happens, in all three of those areas, when that happens, you're actually recording it at a chemical level with something called cortisol and adrenal, plus other chemicals I'm sure that I'm not even aware of, because your body's going to release a flood of chemicals. When your body's releasing chemicals, you're going to feel it in your respiration, in your heartbeat. Your hands might sweat. They might get tingly. They actually might get cold. It just depends on how you're analyzing the world as to how your chemicals are going to be released in your body. When a chemical is released into your body and you have an experience, because you know, that's what's going on, your body's calculating that and recording it at a chemical, electrical, and magnetic process. So it's going to actually get in your bloodstream, and you cannot get that out of your bloodstream unless you're back in a heightened state of emotion. So what happens? 0 to 7, you have, you know, you fall and cut your knee, or you step on a, you know, something, or you stub your toe. Or maybe you've grown up in a place where there's a lot of anger and your dad comes home angry. Or maybe dad doesn't come home at all and mama's sad. Whatever those situations are, your brain is in a receiver mode. And when it's in an emotional mode, it's receiving differently. It doesn't just receive information. It's receiving it in an emotional level. When emotions are present, you have a flood of chemicals. So now you're receiving it electronically, magnetically, and chemically. And that's what we're going to deal with today. We're going to get you into a heightened state of emotion on purpose. Because if I don't get you in a heightened state of emotion, I cannot put new information, even though it gets in your frontal lobe. Even though you hear me, you might agree with me, you understand, you have no questions, it will not be in your body. It will only be in your brain. But if I put you in a heightened state of emotion, it's going to go in your brain. Now, when we connect your emotion from your past, to new information. Oh my goodness, it changes your entire body because now the chemicals that are being released are receiving new information to add to the old chemicals that you have, and your body's not going to look at it like it used to. My husband loves to say, your perception is your deception. And that's true. So Jesus said it this way. He said, whatever you believe in your heart, you'll have. As a man thinks, so is he. So we're going to change what you believe in your heart, because your belief of your heart is not the same as the belief in your brain. They're two different things. And when I say brain, I mean the frontal lobe part of your brain that is, we don't want to get rid of that part of your brain. It does a lot of amazing things, but it affects the way that you analyze. Your subconscious brain affects your actions. It affects what you do every day. It affects your habits. It affects your future, because whatever you believe, you'll have. So if you believe that when you're in a painful emotion, that something's wrong with you, that you are bad, that you're not being good, then your body also believes it can't be blessed, because somewhere in our makeup, we believe we're blessed when we're good and we're cursed when we're bad. And so you don't realize it, but that calculation's going on when you have painful emotions. So if you have any anxiety, any stress, any fear, any worry, any concern, your body's already calculating, oh man, I'm going to be cursed. Now you don't know it. You don't even know you're doing that, because you think in your frontal lobe, I'm blessed. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm blessed going and coming. And you think you're walking in the Word of God, but you're not. You're actually, it's a proven fact scientifically that you create what you feel. You don't create what you think in your brain. People go, yeah, but I believe the Bible with all my heart. Really? Then why are you having lack? Why are you having fear? Why is our body sick? Why is our relationships falling apart? Why do we feel like God's not there for us? Why do we feel like God's there sometimes, but there's a brass ceiling other times when we pray? Because you're believing 100% in your brain, but no one's taught you how to believe in your emotions. You don't even know how. You can't change your emotion. You can manage it, but most people don't know how to change it. Well, that's why you're here. I am an emotional coach. People call me a spiritual life coach. People call me a spiritual cardiologist. So what do? I write books, I speak, and I coach. And I'm going to be coaching you today in a very, very intense way. And so when you lay on that table and you begin to follow my lead, you're going to let me, because I've just explained to you what I'm doing. If I didn't explain to you what I'm doing, you know what would happen? You get on that table and you'd be like, what is she doing? What is she doing? What is she doing? And you wouldn't let go. Well, you have to surrender. So when you surrender, all you're doing is you're just being true to your heart. You're going to let your heart feel. Your heart's going to feel a lot of stuff, and you may not be able to connect it to anything. That is okay. You don't need to connect it to anything. You might be able to connect it. You might not. But I can promise you, your internal intelligence that God deposited in you, it knows how to calculate it. So it's not, people go, what do I do with this now? You do nothing. That's the beauty of it. You didn't do anything to create your fear-based beliefs, did you? Mm-hmm. No, you just were living. So you can't do anything to create your love-based belief system. God does it for you. And the way I explain it is the body works like this. If I gave you a green apple, you wouldn't say to me, well, Angela, I know that part of this green apple is nutrition and the other part is fiber and waste. So I'm going to just get rid of all the fiber and waste part before I eat it. And I'm only going to eat the nutritional part. You couldn't do that if you tried. If it did have poo-poo on it, you'd cut it off. But you can't figure out logically what part's waste and what part's nutrition. So guess what you do? You eat it. You enjoy eating it. Your body then secretes all the things it needs to secrete. And your stomach does the rightly dividing for you. Why? Because God made your body that way. So guess what your heart does? Your heart's a receiver. When you eat all of your past memories, what does it mean by eat it? Think on it. Let it get into your bloodstream. Pay attention to it. Be aware of it. That's really all you're doing. You're just being aware. It's sort of like smelling. I smell that. Yeah, it smells nasty. That stinks. Or it feels painful. We're just going to keep smelling it. We're going to keep letting it go into our bloodstream. As that occurs, I'm going to be listening for what to say and what I see. And when I hear what to say or I see something, I'm going to speak that to you. When I speak it to you, your brain might go, oh, but I can't see that. I'm not visual. It's okay. Your body doesn't need for it to be visual. If you were blind and you ate an apple, would you still be eating it? Yeah. You don't have to see the apple to eat it, do you? Mm-hmm. Same thing with what I'm going to be doing. The Bible says, in my tongue is the power of life and death. So the power is not in your ability to see it. The power is in me speaking it. So when I speak into your heart, when it's open, I'm speaking what I hear the Father tell me, what I hear the Holy Spirit, what I hear Jesus. And sometimes it might be very obvious which part of God is talking to me. Other times it may not be as obvious, but I'm still going to trust. And I'm also going to trust that even if I hear incorrectly, I'm still going to say it and God's able to fix it, because God's not, you know, too weak that I can mess God up. I'm not so big I can interfere with what God's doing in your life. So as I speak those things, if your brain imagines it and can visualize it, fine. If it can't, it still works, okay? So I might say to you, imagine an IMAX movie screen. And your brain may not be able to see it. That's okay. You know what that looks like, don't you? See? It worked. You don't have to see it. And then I might say, split that movie screen down the middle. And on one side, I want you to pretend you're there in the kitchen when you're 5. And then on the other side, I want you to pretend blah, blah, blah. Your brain's going to automatically do it. You can't mess it up. And I've had people scared. Well, I think I messed it up because I couldn't visualize. It don't work like that. So you don't have to worry about messing it up. Okay, that's good news. All right, so now when we do that and we put that on a movie screen, and as people are listening to this on the podcast, people are listening all over the world. Some people take that I'm teaching and they'll go do it without me and get healed. Because guess what? They don't need Angela. They need the truth. Right. Truth is what sets us free. People come to me because they like me helping them, but they don't need me to do it. They can do exactly what I'm teaching you right here on this podcast. They can do it without Angela. And I get messages. I got a message day before yesterday from Germany. Somebody found out about what I was doing and they're getting healed in Germany, listening to my podcast and reading my books. Isn't that awesome? Mm-hmm. So why am I telling you this? Because like I said, when I put you on the table, you won't wrestle with me and you won't be going, oh my God, am I messing this up? No, honey, you can't mess it up. And so if it doesn't work, you know, people listen to the podcast. What if they try and do it for themselves and don't work the first time? Do it another time. Do it another time. Do it another time. When you get home, you're going to have your session recorded. You can relive it and relive it and relive it. So why is all this so important? You may not know it, but in your brain, there are branches. And these branches are connected into your heart. These branches are called a neo network. It's a neurological network. And branches are where the fruit comes out. The Bible even says, I am the vine and you are the branches. So when your branches were formed as a little girl, and those branches were, I am bad when I feel bad, we're going to change those branches. Those branches are not going to be connected to you like they are right now. They're going to change. We're going to cut them off and throw them in the fire. Why? Because they haven't produced you any very good fruit. But what's going to happen is new neurological networks are going to form. You couldn't stop them if you tried. Kind of like if you all of a sudden were driving over here and you saw a car wreck in front of you and you watched somebody die in front of your eyeballs. Would you need to see that 12 times for it to change your life? No, it's going to change your life that one time. It's going to create a neurological network. It's going to be so strong that even if you try to get rid of it, you can't. And I work with people who do that. People who've walked up on a murder scene, people who's been involved in a murder, people who loved ones have been murdered or died in a car wreck or walked in and found a dead body or walked in and saw somebody who committed suicide. I can change that memory in a heartbeat and I can make it never be traumatic again. And I can duplicate that over and over and over, and I can teach others to duplicate it. And that's what's happening. This information that God has downloaded to me, oftentimes in my sleep or in my dreams, I didn't learn this in school. People ask me, well, are you hypnotizing me? Nope, I'm not hypnotizing you. I'm helping you to eat your broken memories of your past. But this time when you eat them, you're going to eat them in remembrance of Christ. And when we go through your sorrow and suffering, it could be one, it could be five, it could be two. It doesn't matter. What matters is wherever God leads us. He knows what your heart needs first. He knows what your heart needs second. He knows what your heart needs third. And this is the process. You're going to begin something today that's going to change your entire life. It will change your relationships. It will change your work. It will change your finances. It will change your relationship with yourself, with God, and others. And so what I want you to know is that after today, you might feel like your world's falling apart. You know what? It is. You might feel like you're losing your mind. You know what? You are. That's a good thing. Because the mind that you have right now must not be working for you or you wouldn't be here. Okay? So we want that to go away. We want you to get a new mind. And you're literally going to get one, exactly like Scripture says. But you don't get a new mind with information only. With information and wondering, you actually create what's called a capacity in your brain. That means that's like building a cup. It's like putting a cup on the table or putting a barrel out in the yard because you want to catch rainwater. That's what we're doing right now. I'm building capacity. We're putting a barrel out in the rain so it can catch some. When I go into your emotion, I'm going to put rain in you. I'm going to put blessing in you. I'm going to put new information in you. That new information is information you already believe. You know why? Because I'm going to get it from Scripture. I study Scripture sometimes 8 hours a day. Why? I'm passionate about it. I can't help myself. I'm not doing it because it's the right thing to do. I'm not doing it because I'm obedient. I'm doing it because I want to sit with thousands and watch all 1,000 heal at one time. I'm not interested anymore in just one at a time. I want the world to heal. And so my meditations and my prayers and my aspirations is when I sit before the Lord, I'm like, Lord, how do we heal thousands? How do we heal millions? How do we change the earth? How do we manifest change? Last night while I was dreaming, I was asking God in my dreams, God, what is this and why are we having it? And I heard the Lord say to me, this is your pathway to spontaneous change. And the earth is waiting for you to manifest, Angela. And in my dreams, I got so excited. And I said, oh, goodness, God, this is the way to manifest? He said, yeah, like a lily, where you manifest matter out of nothing. See, a lily's in the darkness, in a bulb, under the ground, where nobody can see it. And in a spontaneous, sudden moment, it just appears. That's how Jesus walked. He could appear and disappear. He could eat a fish and walk through a wall and the fish didn't fall out on the side. It went with him. He could literally be in one moment here and manifest across the sea over there and be on the shore. And he didn't just manifest himself. He manifested the whole ship and all of the men with him. He could take a coin out of a fish's mouth. He could take a few loaves and fish and feed 5,000 and take up 12 baskets. He was manifesting as God in the earth, because he didn't count it robbery to be equal with God. And see, you don't even know yet that you're created equal with God. What do I mean by that? I mean his twin, his bride, his equal opposite. So when you're on that table and you're in that heightened state of emotion, I'm not hypnotizing you. You're going into a different brainwave. Mm-hmm. People might call that hypnosis, but I've never taken a class. I've never been hypnotized. I'm just taking you where Jesus took me. Into a heightened state of emotion, into your old memories. We're going to put new information that if you believe the Bible, that's what I'll be putting into you. I'll be putting in Scripture. Now, let me just pretend for a moment that I don't understand Scripture perfectly. Right? The Bible says I know in part and see in part. So I don't know that. I don't understand all mysteries. But the Bible says if I could understand all mysteries and I didn't have love, I would be a clinging brass. So I love you. I don't have to know you to love you. All I have to know is you're my father's daughter. And I love you. Why? Because I have a daughter. And I can tell you, if people say they love me and don't love my daughter, they don't love me. And I have a son. And if people say they love me and they don't love my son, they don't love me. So I understand what God's saying when he says, if you love me, you'll love my children. I love you because you're his child. That's it. And you're another human being, and you have the same kind of life I have. It's called painful one. It's called a sorrowful one. And so I'm going to go into those places with you. And I'm going to give you scripture as the way that I know it. That doesn't mean I don't have error. But I'm not scared of error. If I ask for a fish, is he going to give me a snake? Mm-hmm. Heck no. If I ask for bread, is he going to give me a stone? No. If I ask for water, am I going to get vinegar and gall? No. Man will give me vinegar and gall, just like man gave it to Jesus. But when you go to God and you ask him for drink, he's going to give you two things. He's going to give you broken manna, which is his body. That's your life. He said, this is my body. Who's the body of Christ? Us. So he broke the bread, not the devil. Mm-hmm. So we're going to eat your broken bread as though Jesus fed it to you, because that's what scripture says he did. And we're going to drink the cup, and that cup is cup of suffering. Now, blood is 80% water, but it don't taste very good, I'm sure, if you was to drink it. Like, that sounds nasty. Sounds terrible. But that's what Jesus told them. He said, drink this cup in remembrance of me. What was he talking about? Real, physical, tangible blood? Absolutely not. He was talking about the unseen blood. He said, don't look at what you can see. That's temporary. Look at what you can't see. What you can see is temporary. What you can't see is eternal. Then he taught us in Romans chapter 1 that everything that you can see reveals the unseen. So that cup of blood and that bread that he said, eat in remembrance of me, that was revealing something you couldn't see. So what was he revealing? Your broken life and the suffering that accompanied it. So we're going to have communion this morning. And the communion that you're going to have is not tangible. It's not visible. It's unseen. So when I tell you to just let that emotion flow through your body, let it go like a river to all your extremities, even if it's a teeny tiny bit, it don't have to be a lot, just a little tiny bit. That's what he was doing when he lifted up the cup and said, drink this in remembrance of me. So we're going to drink your emotion. What does that mean to drink it? It means feel it. It means let it flow, because your body's going to try and stop it. Your gut right here is going to try and stop it. Your chest is going to try and stop it. You might go, and try to breathe to stop it. You might bite your lip. You might get a real sad lip, like a little kid, and their little bottom lip, you know, dribble, kind of shakes. And I'm going to say, it's okay. You can feel these pains. You're in a safe place. Drink it. Just drink that emotion. Let it flow through your body. And let's remember how Christ suffered with you. And then we're going to remember how Jesus suffered the same sorrow and suffering with you so that you would not suffer alone. And what's going to happen in that beautiful moment is your heart is going to look into the eyes of Jesus, and it's going to feel that you are not alone. You're going to feel the compassion of God. You're going to feel the unity with God. That's the secret place. It's where your heart and the heart of Jesus literally become one emotionally. You know, in scripture it says, gird up your loins. If you go look up that gird up your loins, it literally means feel what he feels. Feel what he felt. In Hebrews, it says that when you sin willingly, he goes back on the cross and is crucified again. And that's a very controversial scripture, but the way that Jesus explained that to me, I said, Jesus, I asked him, where were you when these terrible things happened in my life? He literally took me back to all the places he suffered. And he said, don't you know I've been waiting for you? And he said, when you missed the mark willingly, I would go in these places and wait for you. He said, that is my room of intercession. It's my room of remembrance. Now, is that the fullness of that truth? I don't know. It's the truth that Jesus gave me and gave me a picture so I could understand that for where I'm at the moment. And I'm just going to give that same information to you. So what does it mean to miss the mark? It means that when you were in some kind of pain and you didn't feel the love of God, you missed the calculation that God is with you. That's what it means to sin. In Ephesians, it says when you go past your feelings, you give yourself over to all manner of lasciviousness. And if you look up all manner of lasciviousness, it means vanity and wantonness. And all of the fruit of sin is actually listed there in those two words if you were to look them up. Murder, lying, cheating, adultery, malice, hatred, envy, strife. All of those words are listed in the definition of lasciviousness. And so we think that is sin. No, that's the fruit of sin. Sin is missing the mark. The word mark means calculation. missing the calculation of where God's love was when you were suffering. And so Jesus came and suffered that with you so that you would not be alone. The Holy Spirit then came so that you wouldn't remain an orphan. What does that mean, remain an orphan? See, when you were a child and you didn't feel the love of God, you felt separated from God. And when you felt separated from God, that's the same as feeling orphaned. And so you felt orphaned, even if your mother and father was with you the whole time, you could still feel orphaned. God, where are you? Means you feel orphaned. So Holy Spirit came so that you wouldn't remain in that. And Holy Spirit came to reveal righteousness, judgment, and sin. Holy Spirit came to comfort you and reveal all truth. And so that's what we're going to be doing, is allowing the Holy Spirit to use your judgment, to use your sin, and to reveal righteousness to you. Reveal the truth. When that truth hits you, girl, your whole life changes. Because truth plus nothing else is really what heals you. Truth is omnipresent. Truth is omnipotent. That means all powerful. Truth is everywhere at all times and all dimensions. And truth doesn't need me or you to assist it to change you. But when the truth gets into your, not only your frontal lobe where you've been reading the Bible, but when it gets into your emotions where you feel it, that means it cuts through the bone and into your marrow and into your DNA. And we now know scientifically when that happens in a heightened state of emotion, and love, care, compassion, appreciation, and gratitude are in your bloodstream, what happens is it knocks on your DNA and dormant genes that are asleep awaken. And when those genes awaken, they actually change the way your body makes proteins. It changes your chemical makeup in your body. That's why when we do these releases, that's what we call them. I don't even know if release is a good word. But when we do these healings, that's why we see people's body get healed. Cancer dies, bones grow, bladder and kidneys come back to life, hearts heal. I mean, we see so many healings that it's just, we can't even keep up with them. Like, we used to count them. You know, I can remember when we got to 10 and we were like, oh my gosh, we saw 10 healings. Now there's so many, I don't even remember. I mean, people have to remind me, oh yeah, that person healed. Oh, I forgot about that. Oh yeah, yeah, that's so exciting. I get excited when people start talking about healings because there's so many now, it's hard to remember them, and it's just a joy when I'm reminded. So that's how the healing takes place. It looks like a miracle if you don't understand the science, and it is miraculous. But the word miracle also means calculation. It means mark. So if you look up the word, if you look in the scripture, you know, to not sin, if you look up the word sin, and it takes you to miss the mark, if you look up that word mark, it means calculation, sign, wonder, flag, token, monument, and miracle. So it literally means to miss your miracle. But when you understand what's going on, which is what I just did, you know what happens to your brain? Already your brain's going, gone. Your heart's going, yeah. You're in a different part of you. And even if you don't understand what I told you, you've received it. And guess what happens? You go, yeah, now I want it. Mm-hmm. Right? And you might later on go, what happened to me? Explain that again. Well, guess what? You can come listen to this podcast and you can learn it. So for the podcast people, you can go to my website, www.angelabertone.com. You can register with my email. And I don't send out newsletters often, but when I do, you'll get a copy of it. And you can also find my books and my services and how to contact me there. Thank you, guys.